Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Thank you so much for tuning in tonight for another episode of Sunday Night Live. I'm so excited because, you know, as we listen to our theme song, that God is on the move. God is still on the move. No matter what it looks like around you and what you're going through, we know that God is on the move. And with that being said, I know that God wants us to be whole. God wants good things for us. And that just goes along with things being restored in our life. And with my guest that I have here tonight, I have Andrew Coomer. I'm really excited because I know that God has definitely been on the move in his life. And I'm really excited to hear about what's going on in him. So I just want to say good evening, Andrew.
Good evening, Natalie. Thank you very much. As you were saying, my name is Andrew Coomer. I'm from Wheeler, Texas, and tonight I have the opportunity to share kind of some of the trials and tribulations I've been facing recently in my life with overcoming a drug addiction and lack of being able to trust people and everything, and I just appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk with y'all tonight.
Oh, we are really glad that you are willing to share, because I know that it's hard sometimes because it's showing that we do have weaknesses, and a lot of time people don't want to see our weaknesses. Or not, I say people don't want to see our weaknesses, we don't want to tell about our weaknesses.
Yes, yes, definitely. It can be, it's a very difficult thing to admit that we're all imperfect. I've had the great opportunity to be surrounded by a church that, and a loving family here recently. I've struggled with drugs since I was 18. I tried cocaine the first time when I was 18, and then I tried methamphetamines when I was 21. And so for the last 5 years, I'm 26 now, for the last 5 years, I struggle with the fear of people finding out of doing drugs, the fear of what people will think of me when they find out, because it's inevitable that people will find out. And just trying to get to a place in my life where the belief that I could actually overcome drugs was a possibility. That's been the hardest thing to get to. Living in denial about it for a long time and hiding it from people, you don't ever think that you're going to be able to escape it. And then that fear of uncertainty and overwhelming inevitability of all the things that can go wrong, of ending up in jail, living on the streets, losing your family and losing all your friends, everything that you're willing to sacrifice to just keep using drugs, it's hard to find your way back away from that.
Yes. So I know that you're about to start sharing your story, and I know with that as being your process, I know that you've been going through all of this. Do you feel that by telling people your story that it has helped you get through this?
In a tremendous way, yes. For so long, it felt like I was just chained down by what happens when people find out. And just being able to open up about that, it just gives a freeing sense of that possibility of what other people think is no longer there, because now they have the choice to choose what to think, and then you have the freedom to not be condemned about the possibilities, and you actually know, you can actually see the truth, and most people are accepting about it and understanding, because we're all struggling and we're all going through things. And it's just an amazing thing when you realize you're not alone in your struggles and that there are other people that are willing to reach out and help you.
That's right. So as we go into your story, would you start out by just telling us a little bit about yourself? You know, maybe did you grow up in this area? And just tell us a little bit about growing up and just a little backstory on you, so we can know a little bit about Andrew.
Yes, definitely. I'll start from the beginning. When I was born, I was born in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and my mother's name was Rosemary Soto. And when I was born, my mother was on drugs, so I got taken away from my mother and put into a foster care until I was 3 years old. And my sister, Santana Von Soto, was also put in the same foster care. And when I was 3 years old, my dad, my biological father, worked really hard to get custody from me, which was difficult because I'm from a tribe right outside of Santa Fe, Nambe Pueblo. Just a little tribe outside of Santa Fe. And I've only been there a couple times to visit, but they still have the ability to keep their people on the reservation and whatnot. But my dad, who was married to Brandy Simmons at the time, was able to get custody of me. And as when they were married, I had another sister, Kaylee Coomer. And they were only together for a short period of time and got divorced. And so a lot of my childhood, I bounced back and forth between my grandmother and being with my dad and one of my three stepmothers. He got remarried and we moved to Kentucky again until I was in the second grade. And then I moved back in with my grandmother for a little bit, and then he got remarried to Heidi Hipkins, or Heidi Marshall. And when I was in the fifth grade, I believe, and then they stayed married until I believe I was in eighth grade. And then my dad went to prison my eighth grade summer and for drugs. So I moved back in with my grandmother. So I've moved around a lot, mm-hmm. and bounced back and forth between homes. And then after high school, I worked in the oil field, so I just traveled the country, and it was just something I was accustomed to, just never staying in one place too long. But sometimes when that happens, you start to feel disconnected from people and disconnected from the world, and you start to feel like you're alone in the world and that you don't belong anywhere.
Yeah.
And then, so roughly a year ago, I got out of jail in Wheeler County. I was arrested with possession of a controlled substance charge, which was a third degree felony. And then I was also accused of two fraud charges, which was a second degree felony fraud and a first degree felony fraud charge. My bail was set at $75,000, I believe. And so I didn't have that kind of cash laying around or anything. So I set out jail in Wheeler County, and luckily my two of my fraud charges were dropped, and I just had to, they did a reduction on my third degree felony, and I sat in jail in Wheeler County and served my time, got time served there. And that was kind of a big awakening moment for me, because for so long I tried to hide my drug use and hide all the negative things about me from everyone, because I thought if I just uphold this image, then I'll be accepted. If I just act a certain way and do a certain thing and people don't know about all my negative things, that things will be okay. So long I lived this double life of who I felt like I was on the inside and who I thought people wanted me to be. And that leads to just indulging into drugs even more, or just alcohol to cover up the
pressure.
Yes, a lot of pressure of just trying to live up to somebody else's standards. And you'll never be able to live up to other people's standards and still feel whole about yourself. So going back to that, going to jail in my hometown, Wheeler, Texas, forced me to step out of my bubble a little bit, because then people knew. There was no hiding the fact that I used drugs anymore. There was no pretending to be somebody that I wasn't anymore, because Wheeler is just such a small little town. There's 1,200 people that live here. So when people go to jail, everybody talks about it and everybody hears about it. And a lot of times what happens is either you force yourself into hiding or you step out and you confront that. And I chose to step out and confront that. I stayed in Wheeler on, even though no one in my family thought it was a good idea for me to stay in Wheeler, because they thought it would lead me back to just doing what I was doing before. So it felt like my family didn't want me here. And then I didn't have very many friends because most of my friends were using drugs and I didn't want to go back down that way. So I tried something different. I got out on a Friday, and that Sunday I walked into a church by myself with the whole town knowing of where I'd just come from, of just getting out of jail and why I was in there. And that was one of the most fearful things. At that time, I went to the Church of Christ, and I walked in there, and it was empowering to walk in there, but I just didn't feel like that was the church for me at the time. So the next Wednesday night, I was walking around town looking for somewhere to go to church, and there was like five cars parked out of the Cornerstone. I thought it was the Baptist church because that's what church it was when I left town. Yes. And so I walked in there and I was all just out of jail and pretending to be all confident and stuff. And I don't know. And lo and behold, the people that were there for a Celebrate Recovery group.
Wow.
So God directed me to what I needed. And it just happened to be that there were a meeting on a Wednesday night, and I've been going to that group for almost a year now, and we really meet on Tuesday night, so that the fact that they're meeting on a Wednesday night and then I was out walking around town looking for a church that just felt more like somewhere I belonged was God putting me in the place to where I needed to be without me knowing it at the time.
So basically, you didn't have any ties with Cornerstone at all until you just decided that once you got out of jail, you knew you needed to find a church.
Yes, I just knew I needed to try something different, and I had leaned on myself to get myself through things for so long, and there was just this urge inside of me that I needed to trust God more. I needed to welcome God into my life, and I didn't know what that looked like, and I didn't know how to go about that. So I just started walking and allowed God to lead me in the direction I needed
to
go. Wow,
that is really cool. So had you ever had an encounter with God before that? Had you ever given your life to Christ? Or was this just a new thing that you just felt like you were being drawn into God at that moment?
So like I was saying earlier, I have used drugs since I was 21, so for 5 years. For the first 2 years of that, I didn't see it as an issue. I worked in the oil field, and everybody used drugs, and everybody drank, and whatnot. So it was just kind of a normal thing. Everyone was there. And I moved to Lubbock, Texas, when I was 23, I believe. And I tried to settle down and start a relationship, but... Yes, and... But I was using drugs, and just the everyday life was like, it was weird, and it was foreign, and it was hard to do. So I ended up, the relationship I was in at that time, I was using drugs, so I didn't know how to have a home life and a relationship. I had an apartment. I was starting a business in landscaping, and things seemed like they were going good. I was making money, but I was using drugs, and so I was, the way things were and the way things seemed were completely different. I ended up losing everything. The apartment, my relationship, my truck. I was sleeping in my truck for a little while, and then my truck broke down on the side of the road, and I didn't have any way of fixing it. And so it got towed. So I was sleeping outside for a while. And one night I went and snuck into this hotel. I slept behind the couch down in the lobby, and I just cried out to God to help me that this is not what I want to do with the rest of my life. And then I went to sleep, and God came to me and said, "Get up, you don't belong here." And so the first time I called out to God and that actually wanted some help, I got up. And then I called a friend, and there was a good friend of mine. He let me stay with him for a little while. And then within a couple of weeks, I got a job and found a house, and things seemed to be going good. And for a while, for a few months, they went, maybe a year or so, they went good. But I started leaning back on trying to do things myself and not giving the glory to God and just trying to be in charge of everything and thinking that I could do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes to show that that God will come meet you where you're at and he'll help you get up. But you still can drift away from that, and that you have to continue trusting God and to continue leaning on him, that if you do try to go back to doing it on your own, that you can go back to where you were before.
That's right. So during that time that you cried out to God when you were behind that couch, and you decided to get up and things were going better and you were living, got a job and everything, at that time, did you try to find a church home or connect with other Christians at that time?
I did not, no. I cried out to God, and I just went to work, and then I thought everything was fine. I didn't need him anymore.
Yeah.
well, thanks for getting me off of out from behind this couch, but I got this now.
Yeah, right.
So I know I didn't go find a church home, and I didn't try to reconnect with people. I just tried to go back to doing it by myself.
Yes. Yes. So you said that you were, that was a down south Midland area, is that correct?
That was in Lubbock, Texas.
Lubbock, that's right, Lubbock. Yes. Okay, and so how did you end up back into Wheeler during that 5-year period?
So it was 2 years ago, and so the job that I got, it was for a guy that was doing pest control out of Lubbock, Texas, and he gave me a work truck and everything, and then he had a house in Plainview, Texas. And so that's where I was staying for a little while. And things were going good for a little while. And then while I was in Plainview, Texas, in 2017, I had an unpaid traffic ticket. So I got pulled over and had a bench warrant and was took to jail. And so when I went to jail, when I was supposed to be working, I lost my job.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the first time in my life, I tried unemployment and I was still looking for a job and stuff. But since I had lost my job due to getting arrested, I wasn't able to get unemployment either. So I was just, I was in Plainview, Texas, and went every day looking for a job. And I had a bicycle, and I lived on the edge of Plainview, so it was like 5 miles to get into town. So I'd ride my bike into town.
Wow.
And be all sweaty and nasty. And so it was so hard to get a job. And they're like, we don't want to hire this guy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the hardest things sometimes is like when you lose everything and you don't have anything, it's so hard for people to give you the opportunity because they see you as this dirty person or this person that, you know, isn't up to the standards of what we want them to be, to have a good appearance sometimes. And that's one of the hardest things about breaking free about things is, and then when we try to do it on our own and we don't give it to God, it's nearly impossible to break free from that.
That's right.
But luckily, my grandmother and my granddad had come up a couple times, and I wanted to go home because I couldn't do it anymore, and they came and picked me up, and they gave me a place to stay for a little while. And I was sober during this time. I've had spurts where I was sober over the 5 years, and I was still sober from Lubbock, and I moved back down here. And so I got a little bit healthier, and I was able to eat, and I was at home with home-cooked meals and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Grandma's cooking.
Yes, and it's amazing. she cooks she's Lynette Lewis, and she cooks the most amazing meals, all kinds of meals.
I bet so.
And so then I got a job working at the hospital here. And I was clean, and I could hold up an appearance. And I became a CNA there, and things were going great. But after a while, about 6 or 8 months, I got comfortable, and I stopped pushing myself to try to improve. I just settled for where I was at, and I got bored. And Wheeler's, there's nothing to do. And so if you want to do something, it seems like the things that I knew what to do were find drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So while I was working at the hospital, I started using it again. And I would just use on my days off at first. And I would get sober for my days on. And then it slowly just trickled into where I was more focused on getting high than the work. And so then I stopped taking care of the things I needed to take care of. And one night I was working at the hospital, and I left to go get something to drink. Really, I wanted to go home to go get a pipe so I could smoke some meth because I was tired. So I was like, I'll just get high real quick. So I left to go to my house and went and got some a pipe, and then I stopped at the store and got something to drink. And on my way back to the hospital, it says the cops were waiting on me, and they pulled me over and took me into jail that night because I had a pipe, and then I had two capsules that had meth in it, which was probably close to a gram of meth. And that day I knew that things were going to be different, that everything in my life had changed, because I'd never been arrested for drugs and I'd never been arrested in my hometown. And it was just a very life-altering moment.
Mm-hmm. So now let's fast forward. You've gotten out of jail.
Yes.
And now you're walking around and you find a church on, well, you go to one church and then you walk around on a Wednesday and you show up to Cornerstone Church where they're having Celebrate Recovery. And so what happened when you walked in there and you saw that it was Celebrate Recovery? Did you just join in on the group?
I just joined in. I told them I'd just gotten out of jail. I was excited. I was like, yes. Yeah. It was a great thing, and it was just welcoming. And then that Sunday I was like, I'm going to go to the Cornerstone because I had a great time. There was great people, and it was just very loving and welcoming. And as soon as I walked in the door, you can feel just the love of the people that are around here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing, and it makes you feel like you're going to be okay, that things are going to work out, and that you're not alone, and that people will just come up and talk to you and everything. So I knew I had found what I was looking for when I was looking for a church when I came here. And that is an amazing feeling. So when I first got out of jail, I didn't know what I was going to do work-wise, so I just started volunteering. I volunteered out at Brittfield at first for a little while for Lions Club, because I was involved in Lions Club before I went to jail. So I got out and I was like, I want to help clean this park up. So I volunteered out there for a little bit, and then they gave me a job working for them. And then Marianne had called me to see if I'd clean out the vans. And that is a horrible job. It gets so hot in those vans, and you're trying to get the vacuum under.
Oh, I thought you said vents, but vans.
Vans,
the
yes.
Church vans, okay.
Yes, the church vans. But I tried to do the best job that I could, but anyway.
Good for you.
And I like probably clinged on them way too long, because I was just out of jail, and I was like, I'll take any opportunity that anybody will give me. So It probably took me 2 hours to clean out one of the vans. It was probably clean within the first 15 minutes, but yeah. It was spotless. And then that's the first time I think that I actually met Aaron. He came up and asked if I do want to do like maintenance stuff for the church, and I said, yeah, that'd be awesome. And so he said he just called me when they had stuff to do and everything, and which was neat, and a great opportunity. So it was another way that pulled me into the church, and I think that was amazing. So coming out of jail, and I didn't notice it at the time of how much being pulled towards God was helping me, and I still thought I was doing it on my own, because that's what I've always thought, is that it was me doing things. But it wasn't, and the reason that I even had the possibility to talk on the show again is because of this church and because of where God was pulling me towards. Because although I got out of church and I was out of jail and things were going good, it doesn't mean things stayed good. I got back out of church and I was doing really good, and then on Thanksgiving of last year, I was out at my family's and we were having Thanksgiving supper, and there was my cousins were there, and so I was drinking and just relaxing and having a good time. And something was said and everybody kind of left, so I left, but I was still wanting to do something. So I hit up my old friends. It was 11:30, and I ended up getting high and going to Pampa. And I was like, I don't know if I really want to do this. And then so I got high and I came back, and then I got sober, and then about 2 weeks later, I ended up getting around some people, and they were getting high, so I just did too, and it was like 6 months that just flew by. And it was great for about four of that. The last 2 months were horrible, it seemed like. Everyone was always fighting, and everything that could go wrong seemed to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I could feel the pressure of the entire town knowing that I was using drugs again. After I had gotten out of jail and after I had really tried to put my life back together, I had failed yet again. During this time, though, the one thing that was completely different is I still tried to make it to church. I may not have made it every Sunday or every Wednesday or every Tuesday to celebrate recovery, but I kept going and I kept showing up and I kept letting God into my life, even in my lowest points, even when I normally wouldn't have because I was afraid of what people would think. Somehow God led me back to church and continued to bring me back, even though I was walking into the church high and worrying about what people would think. I still kept coming to church, and God kept pulling me back and pulling me back. And I got to the point where, like, I didn't want to do drugs anymore, but I didn't know how to quit. I've done it so long that it was just normal for me. And a relationship that I was in ended, and so I went back to the house that I'm staying in, and it was rough. It was very rough. It's hard enough to come off drugs. It's extremely hard when there's no one around you when you're coming off of drugs, and it's scary, and it makes you feel like you're extremely alone because your emotions are all over the place, and you feel like everyone is out to get you and that the world is against you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, somehow God was still there in that moment, and he said, you're going to get through this. It's going to be okay. It's going to be rough for a little while, but you're going to get through this. And so for probably about 2 months, it took me 2 months to try to actually get clean. I'd get clean for a little bit, and I'd relapse, and I'd get clean, and I'd relapse. One time I slept for 7 days straight. I couldn't get off the couch. So I was like, I'm just going to do drugs again because I don't want to sleep like this. I don't want to go through this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow God brought me to... So a few weeks later, I was going to Oklahoma City to pick up some more drugs because everybody in Wheeler, I was pretty aware that everyone in Wheeler knew what I was doing. And so I wanted to go somewhere where I could get some drugs from someone that where they wouldn't automatically know that that's what I was doing.
Yes. Still trying to hide it.
Still trying to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was trying to show that I was getting better, but I really wasn't yet.
Yes.
I was getting more involved again, and I was trying to make the appearance that things were getting better, but I was still hiding it, and I was still trying to take it all on my own, and I was still trying to be stubborn enough to think that I could do it by myself. Anyways, I got a text message from a good friend of mine that I'd known for a few years, and she asked if I was coming to church that night. And I was in Oak City, and I was on my way to Oklahoma City, and something just inside of me said to turn around, and I turned around, and it was like 5:36, and church starts at 6, so I turned around, and I drove 100 miles an hour back to Wheeler for some reason, and I walked into church that night, and that night just was completely different. I sat in the stand or sat in the audience for a minute because I don't know. I felt like I needed healing. I usually get to run the sound and the lights in the back, so me being in the audience is different. But then it felt out of the norm for me. So I went back and went back to where the computer was at and back there and sat there for a little bit. And then something again later in the service pulled me back down to go say hi to the person that asked me if I was coming to church. So I said hi to her and I went back to the computer. And then finally, within like 5 minutes of the service left, the pastor was calling people down to, I can't remember exactly what was going on, that's kind of a blur, but anyways, mm-hmm. I went in front of the church that night, and for the first time, I openly admitted without having to that I was struggling in my addiction, and I was actively in addiction, and that I didn't really necessarily ask for help or whatever, but just coming out and admitting to the world that I was struggling, it was the way that I only way I knew how to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
And instantly there was like this weight lifted off of me, that just like this freeing sense of everything's going to be okay. That
oh, that's amazing.
Yes.
And so So you went up and you told people. Did you have people reach out to you at that point, or kind of walk us through where you're trying to get back to being clean and not relapsing.
So that night, as much as the weight lifted off, I'd like to say I got sober that night, because that would be a great story to tell. It took me 2 more days.
Well, and you know what? I think a lot of times that's what we want God to do, but really it's a process. And if we look at the scriptures, it doesn't say it's instant, but he can do instant, but it's a process.
Yes.
So that you don't go back.
Definitely. And I mean, it was a little bit of a process, but it happened quick too. It was amazing. So that night, the weight was lifted off and I left, and actually right after the service, I went to the cemetery for a little bit, because something about being around, seeing the fact that we're all going to end up here someday, knowing that we have an opportunity to live, is freeing. Mm-hmm. While we're here, we can live, because we're all going to die one day. So anyways, that's a side note, that's weird. But
to think about it like that, that's true. What a way to realize that, you know what, I'm alive, and so what am I going to do with my life?
Yes.
Am I going to waste it, or am I going to try to do what God wants me to do with it?
Yes, definitely. I definitely agree. So I went to the cemetery, and I went home, and then I ended up getting high again, which, I don't know, but it just felt different than that. And because I still had some drugs, I went to Oklahoma City to pick up some, but I ended up not going, so I didn't have very much left. I ran out Friday, and I just said, this is it. I had money to go get more. I had a way to go get some. I had someone to get some from, and I just, God was like, you don't have to do this anymore. And that was it, and I knew that detoxing was going to be hard. Or actually, I didn't think it was going to be hard. I thought God was lay there beside me, and I went to sleep Friday night, and I knew I was going to have to detox and get over this. And Saturday, I slept all day Saturday. And that Sunday, I got up for church, and I felt renewed and refreshed. So I went to church, and since then, I'm not saying it's been easy for the last month or so. It's been very hard. I've had to do a lot of things to try to ensure that this is different. By trusting God, I went out and tried to find me some people that wanted the best for me, that I could ask advice from, that would be willing to listen. I have a couple sponsors and like mentor type relationships with people to hold me accountable in situations to where I can't handle it on my own, because God says, where two or three or more are gathered, there I am. So I believe that we need to gather ourselves around people. What else? I started working out. and one way that started was the friend that asked me if I was coming to church asked if I wanted to work out. And I said, sure, like in the lunchtime. So I started walking for like 3 days in the morning, or at lunchtime. And I was like, one day I woke up at 5 o'clock and I was like, God was like, get up and just go work out now. Mm-hmm. Like, are you sure? It's 5 o'clock in the morning. and it is the best time. And I work out 6 days a week now, every morning.
Now, do you have a workout partner as well, or you just go work out by yourself?
I just go work out by myself. I try to give time with myself and with God every morning. So from about 5:30 to about at least 8 is just our time. It's for working out. It's for starting to read the Bible, for trying to plan out what I'm doing for that day, trying to just
get things started for the day.
Just get things going for the day. So that time is just for me and God's time, and to get things going. And then I try to be as much as I can involved up at the church. I come to Celebrate Recovery, and that's been going phenomenal. I've gotten to build some great relationships with people, and that it's just understanding we're not alone in our struggles, and God is with us, but we're also there for each other.
That's right. And that's what church is. That's what church is supposed to be. It's about community and helping people and strengthening them, because we all have weaknesses.
Yes.
And they just look different in different people. But that's what we do, is we come together. And I'm really glad that you were able to find that here at Cornerstone.
Yes, Cornerstone has been a phenomenal church. It's just the love that comes from Cornerstone is amazing, and just changing the way I see God, changing to not think that he's just this overbearing dictator that wants me to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what I've thought before, or that there wasn't a God at all. I've gone through that phase of where, well, God's not real because why has he given me all these horrible things to deal with in my life? I don't know my mother. I don't have a close relationship with anyone in my family because I always felt abandoned by them, so I thought God would abandon me. But here at the Cornerstone, it just surrounds you with love and acceptance, and it's just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. So when you say you work out, and I say this because when I work out, it's like, well, I probably don't work out like you. Like, I just get on the treadmill. But I am... That really ends up being a really good time with God.
Yes.
It's like I'm doing that with Him. I pray, and I just and so I may be walking physically, but I'm still getting that spiritual. So is that how it is with you? Like, you're working out. It's like God's right there with you, working out with you?
Every day, yes. And if I don't work out, if I feel just empty for the rest of the day, it seems like.
Yes.
so, yes, He definitely comes in and works out with me, and... just talk about the possibilities, because that's one thing that I used to not be able to see is the possibilities of the future, of what is possible. God has shown me that there's still a lot possible that I may have messed up for the last 5 years of my life, using drugs, using meth specifically. It's an amazing drug that makes you feel like everything is okay, but it's not.
Yeah.
And I can see the possibilities now again.
And so... You talked about how you now have mentors. You have mentors, and you've surrounded yourself with people that want the best for you. Now tell us a little bit about how that has helped you, having those mentors and having those people in your life.
So the people that I choose are people that are in places to where I want to be better at. Because understanding that maybe I don't know everything. It's been a hard step, but because I used to think that I could do everything and I'm the best at whatever I want to do.
Or invincible.
Invincible.
Yeah, that's right.
So one of my mentors helps me with my scheduling. Because I think that I can just keep it all in my head.
Yeah.
And I'm going to remember everything that goes on and everything that everyone tells me, and I don't. And so I ended up letting a lot of people down by not showing up and just not being able to do what I want to do efficiently. So I have someone that's a mentor with my scheduling, and she's phenomenal. And so asking for advice on how to do that, and you realize how much you don't know about keeping your life on schedule, to be disciplined enough to schedule out your life.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Yes. So, and then another one is like a sponsor. Because although I feel like in this moment I never want to do drugs again, that is just ignorant, because I felt that way in my past. So I want somebody that has been through and stayed clean for long enough that they have a track record of understanding what it feels like to stay clean, so that I can lean on to for questions about what do I do when I feel like this, or just saying, hey, I feel like doing drugs right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, and just saying that I don't know what to do, or having someone to lean on in my own weaknesses, because having someone to lean, like a mentor that's going to guide you in the right direction, in your weak moments, because we're all going to have weak moments to where ourselves, we will fall apart and we will not be strong enough. So having somewhere to lean on helps a lot. And I know we have God, but also having someone that you can relate to and talk to face to face is amazing.
Yes.
And then someone for like my spiritual parts to talk to about how to get closer to God, because, or how to have a better relationship with God, I guess. Because when I heard God, I wasn't in a church, and I wasn't reading my Bible. I was laying behind a couch,
right,
crying out for something, and I didn't know what
that was. And He heard you.
Yes, and I didn't know what that something was. So trying to understand what that was, to what God is important. I think that we can all grow in our spirituality and our relationship with God. Just sometimes we don't know what that is if we've never had it.
Right, and you don't know how, or never seen it.
Never seen
had
it.
Had an example.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
And so do you think that because you did choose that, that has strengthened you and brought you closer to the goals that you want to achieve?
Yes, in an immense way. And it's so I've been sober for just over a month right now. This isn't a testimony of it's been 5 years and I'm doing great and everything in my life is back together right now, which is great when people do that. But I want to share in the process of just getting out of it and just facing the the challenges of everyday life, and it's hard, and it's an everyday battle. But we can do it. We just got to find people that we can trust and that can help guide us in the right direction.
So did you, when you found your mentors, did you have to change your attitude? And you kind of really already said that. You thought you knew everything, but you realized maybe I don't know everything after all, and so maybe I need to ask for some help. And so did you realize you had to change your attitude towards receiving that help? Because the help seems like it's there. It's just whether or not we receive it.
That is so true. For since I was a little kid, I can think back now and be like, yep, they were definitely just trying to help me, but I just...
Stubborn, yeah.
I was stubborn. They were trying to control me. I didn't want to do what they were saying. I wanted to do my own thing, so...
Yeah.
finding the vulnerability to admit to not being strong enough sometimes, it's hard. And it's, especially being a man, it's like... Willing to be vulnerable and admit that you're not capable of something is very challenging. And it's not something that you need to just try to do in every area of your life. Just ease into it and do it with people that you can trust. And that's what happened with me, is it was like, I talked about it kind of with a few people, and then I finally took a big leap with somebody that I trusted, and I said, I'm not sure what I need help with or anything, but I don't know what a mentor is, but... can you kind of point me in the right direction, kind of describe that for me? And I just kind of eased into it, into like asking little stupid questions, not stupid, but like little questions that were like not really make myself vulnerable, but a little bit.
Yeah, so, just ease, yeah.
Yes.
Like test in the waters.
Yes, and so it's definitely a process. It's not going to happen overnight, and it's not going to be, and you might find mentors that just don't suit you, because they you have to find people that kind of suit you in a way that you feel like you can open up to them and trust that what they're saying is not attacking what you're doing, because most of the time that's hard too, is you feel attacked immediately and get defensive.
Mm-hmm.
So figuring out a way to sit there and listen for a minute is challenging, but it is possible.
Well, you know, and you said this, and I think that probably shows where your level of maturity is at now, but you said that as much as you think that you don't want to do drugs again, and you know that's how you feel right now, you know that you've said that before and that you're a weak person. What would you tell somebody that might be or going through the same thing that you've gone through? What would be your advice to them?
My advice would be to somehow find a way to get connected with God and find somebody, even if it's just one person that you can lean on to a little bit, to trust somebody. Because overcoming drugs is, it's a very difficult thing to do, and not many people can do it or have done it. But
On their own.
So knowing that you're not the only one that is having difficulty overcoming drugs is a huge thing. That everyone else that has ever done drugs has faced the challenges that you are facing, and it's okay to struggle, and it's okay to relapse and fall back into it, because you're not expected to be perfect. And we tend to put this standard, well, I gotta get clean, I gotta stay perfect, I gotta do everything just right, otherwise people won't accept me. And that's not the case. I mean, the right people will be watching, and they will notice how hard you're trying and how much you're working every single day to try to get out of that. And the right people will come into your life if you continue to have faith that I want something better and I want something more. People will notice that you are trying and that you are working as hard as you can to get out of it. And they will understand that it is a challenge that you don't just overcome overnight.
That's good advice. That's good advice. So now let's turn the tables. What would your advice be to the church? Okay, so I say to church, to people, they know that their niece or their nephew or their son or their daughter or somebody they know is doing drugs. What would be your advice to them to be able to reach out to help them? What would be a good way that they could reach out to them?
So with my experience, it is all the people that were reaching out and trying to help me, I always felt condemned, and they were trying to change me. That I had to be something else for them to love me, that where I was at was not worthy of their love and their compassion. So I would always run away, and I would always go back into drugs even more. the best, the way that reached me was that people, I was aware that people knew I was using drugs, and I was aware that they knew, so it's, which was difficult, but they chose to treat me and try to look at me as if they still loved me for who I was in that moment, and they were still there for me in that moment. They didn't try to force me out of it. They were just walked beside me in my battle.
Mm-hmm.
And because I ultimately believe that, I mean, drugs isn't something that you choose. I'm just going to screw up the rest of my life.
Right.
Today, it's just, it's something that we lean to for comfort, and
it's like a self-medicate, like to feel better.
Yes.
I mean, we're hurting inside, or something is not, and then we tend to do that because we want to feel better.
Yes, and so something's hurting inside, and we don't feel like we're enough to ourselves. So when people come at us and say that you need to quit that you need to just stop, well, then we don't feel like, then we feel the world thinking that we're not enough. And that's a dark place when the world is telling you you're not enough while you're telling yourself you're not enough. It can lead to some very, very, very deep, dark places. So I think what I would say is the best way to reach people that were in situations that I was in was just to love them where they're at, to accept them where they're at, to just show them that you care for them for who they are, and not let what they're doing affect the fact that you don't, that you still love them even despite what they're doing, that you're still there for them. Because that's what we're all ultimately looking for, is just to know that we're not alone.
Man, you know what, that is so good, and that really, and then when you think about that, not just drugs, it's anything that anybody gets caught in that they know they shouldn't be doing.
Yes, definitely.
You know, and it's like, it makes me think about what Aaron always says. He says, love God and love people.
Yes.
And when you do that, it just seems like the Holy Spirit's able to work in that and bring those, that love is so powerful that it can take care of all the other stuff.
Yes, I think that love or hate does not have enough power to overwhelm love. I think love will always win. And if we can walk in love, then we'll find the true nature of God and the true nature of what we're meant to be.
So anybody that's listening out there, that maybe you do have somebody you know that's struggling with this, we just want to encourage you to love them. So, Andrew, what are some ways that they can love them?
One of the ways is just listen. If someone is actively using and they show up and they just are talking and they're just looking for somewhere to find some peace and some comfort and to go to, and they don't want your advice all the time, although that may be what you know how to tell them how to get out of it, and they know how to stop doing what they're doing. But sometimes just listen. Just be there for them.
Just be a friend.
Just be a friend.
Just be a friend. You know, it makes me think about those memes that you see sometimes where the friend gets in trouble and then the other friend says, now this may not be a good analogy, but basically, you know, we're going to love you no matter what.
Yes.
We're going to love you no matter what. You're my friend. I'm sticking with you to the bitter end, and we're going to get through this.
Yes, and that's so important. It's so important for us to walk together and to be together and to help each other when we fall down, because we're all going to fall down and we're all going to stumble and we're all going to need someone to help pick us back up at some point.
That's right. So, okay, so now you say you've got your plan, you got your mentors in place.
Yes.
And it's been a little over a month now. So where are you going from here? What's the next step for you?
So a decision that I came to recently is, as hard as it may be, things are going great and it's looking forward, and I feel like I can take on the world again, and God is with me, so I feel like I can do it. But like I said, that is what I've done in the past. So even though I'm sober, even though I'm clean, and even though I have mentors in place, my next step is to go to rehab. Even though I'm not being forced to, even though there's no one telling me that that's what I should do, I feel like I should let God have more control of my life and give him an opportunity to see what he can do with a year. Go to rehab for a year and try to work on the parts of me that led me to drugs in the first place, to heal parts of me that...
those hurts that are there.
Those hurts, because although I'm working on some of them, there's a lot that I don't know about. There's a lot that haven't been brought up that I've been suppressing for years, and I want to draw those out. I want to allow the time to give to God to give me some healing and give me some clarity and to refresh me a little bit. And I'm planning on going to a year-long rehab in Amarillo. The way I told myself that it was going to be worth it was, I've been facing drugs for the last 5 years and the last three trying to actually get clean. So giving a year to God and giving a year, the next year of my life, for the possibility that I will never have to, not worry about, never, that I'll have the strength to not do drugs, to be cleansed of that burden.
And learn the tools that you need.
Yes, definitely, because there's a lot of things that I don't know, and I will admit that. So 1 year is nothing compared to the next 5 or 10 or the rest of my life of using drugs and trying to do it on my own. The 1 year, 1 year is a very small price to pay for the possibility of freedom for the rest of my life.
That is so good, and that actually is something that I've had to tell myself as well, as when I'm going through something. If I've only got to go through this for 1 year, what is 1 year compared to the rest of my life?
Yes.
In the whole scheme of things, it's nothing.
It is nothing. It is a small price to pay. And if you're willing to pay the price before you're forced to, I think that's when God can move in your life in a big way.
That's right. So this may be jumping the gun a little bit, but I know that God is really working strong in you, and I can see that you're putting things in place and you're wanting to do the right thing by God. So do you feel like that maybe God's put a call on your life in any sort of way? Or is that something that you're still praying about and you're not ready to talk about?
Well, there's things that I believe that God has put a calling on my life for. It's scares me, so I don't know if I'm ready to admit it to the world or not.
Well, then you just keep that to yourself.
But yeah,
you keep praying, because sometimes it's so scary we don't even want to admit it.
Yes,
they won't say it out loud. I've been there, I promise you. Well, that is so good, and I just want to thank you for being open and honest, and I know it's hard, because especially for you, that you admitted today, this was a secret. You wanted it to stay a secret, and so now for you to get in and get on the radio and tell the world how you're allowing the enemy to just lose his grip on you. Because what happens is you get that shame.
Yes, and it's overwhelming, and it's, yes. Definitely, that shame from the world, and that what you start to think about yourself because of what everyone else might be thinking.
Yes.
It can be overwhelming, yes.
Yes, and I think we all have been there, and we have all been in that place where what is somebody else going to think? But we do know what God says. He says we don't worry about what anybody else thinks, but only what God thinks.
Yes.
But it's a process, like you said, and then we have to go get there. Well, would you be willing to pray today?
Yes, definitely.
For those that have or are going through some of the same things that you're going through, or for the families that know that this is going on, would you just say a prayer for them?
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today to ask you to put your guiding hand over those who are struggling with addiction, or are out of addiction and trying to reintegrate back into the world to try to find their place. I ask that you watch over the families of those who are struggling, because it's just as big of a heartache for those that are struggling and those families that are struggling. I hope that you can continue to use my words today to hopefully reach somebody out there that may have been going through what I am or have gone through what I am, to just reach them and know that they are not alone, that there is somebody else out there. I ask you to just meet them with your love and grace, and just to welcome them home and allow the light within them to shine, even though when those all around seem to be trying to put it out. And thank you for Natalie today, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to come on the radio, and I hope it reaches somebody in a meaningful way. In your heavenly name I pray.
Amen. And you know what? As you were praying, I just really feel led to pray for you. Is that okay if I pray for you?
Yeah.
All right, Father, I just thank you for Andrew. And Lord, I thank you for the work that you're doing in his life. And Father, as he is making decisions to step towards you and move where you would have for him to go, Father, I pray that he hears your voice. Father, I pray he hears that voice that says, in a voice of a stranger, he will not follow. And Father, that you're giving him the supernatural strength and peace to be who you've called him to be. And Father, all those areas in his life where he is asking and wanting and needing healing, Father, I know that you're going to go in and you're going to touch those areas because you're the one that's the ultimate healer. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I just thank you for the life of Andrew and all the work that you're going to do in him and through him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I just thank you so much for being on the radio with me.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, this has really been good because you know what? Life is real.
It is.
I mean, we would like to think that it's all a bed of roses, but it's not. And although your addiction may have been drugs, there's other addictions out there. There's all kinds of addictions. There's all kinds of things that we get, webs that we get caught up in. And so for our listeners that are listening, you know, it may not be drugs for you. Maybe it's pornography or maybe it's something else that you're caught in a web somehow or some way. And we just want to encourage you to reach out to the body of Christ. Wherever it is that you're going, find a church. Find those people. Be like Andrew. Go walking around and find your church. You know, it's funny that you said that because that's actually how I found Cornerstone. I wasn't walking.
Yes.
But I was driving around, and I had just moved to Wheeler. I'd been living here for maybe six months, and I was like, I want to go to church on a Wednesday night. Well, at that time, there wasn't any other churches that were meeting on Wednesday night.
Yes.
And so I was driving around looking for a church that had cars at it. And Cornerstone, when they were in their old building back here, they had a couple of vehicles while I was late. And I was like, because, you know, I'm driving around. I'm kind of like, I don't want to go in there. I'm going to be late. But I was like, I really want to go to church on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked in. And the reason why I walk in is somebody else had pulled in right before I watched him pull in and walk in. And said, okay, somebody else is late. I'm going in late too.
Yes, we're going to show up.
And you know what? That was back in 2004. 2004 or 3 or 4. And so here I am. I'm still a member of Cornerstone, and I think that was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life when I walked in that door. And so I would think that you probably feel the same way.
Yes, it was definitely one of the best things that I have ever done.
That's right. And so go find a church. Go find somebody that you can reach out to help whatever it is that you're going through, whatever struggles you're going through. There is somebody out there that wants to help you, that will love you through that. And if you're not finding that, go to the next one. But keep going until you find that place. And also, we want to remind you that we have our website, SundayNightLive.org. And this radio show is actually going to be archived on our website. So if you know someone that is going through that, after tonight's show, it's going to be posted on that website. You can go onto our website and share that with them. And maybe this could be an encouragement to them. You know, if you know someone that this could help, go on there. All of our past shows are on there, so we really want to encourage you to go in and do that. And, you know, if this show has, if Andrew has blessed you by sharing what he's gone through, you can email me on there. There's a link on that website that will take you to my email. Email me, reach out, and I will reach out to Andrew and tell him that this has blessed him. We would love to hear from you. And also, we have a Facebook page. And so that link is on there as well. And Cornerstone Church and Kingdom Keys Network. We're really thankful that Kingdom Keys Network carries this program. And so we just thank you guys for tuning in. And Andrew, again, I want to say thank you for being vulnerable, because it's hard, isn't it?
Yes, it sure is. And I appreciate the opportunity to, Natalie.
Yes. So we're going to call this part one. And so in about a year or two, we're going to come back and we're going to find out what this call that God has on your life. So you better be bracing yourself and getting ready to step out of that bubble now.
Yes, ma'am, I sure will.
So we're going to have you back and find out what all God's going to continue to do in your life. And so we just say good night to you, and we will see you guys next week. Thank you so much for tuning in.